Good evening. It is so good to see everyone that is able to be out this evening. I also was kind of sitting there contemplating on some things. It's amazing how you can have some things that you read and you don't think much about, and then a couple hours later you start thinking about it a little bit more. And as we were sitting there singing in the comfort of our building and the number of individuals that we have here, and we just don't realize sometimes just how blessed we are to have these opportunities that we have to come together and to spend time with other Christians and to sing these songs of praise and to have an opportunity to hear the gospel being preached. I had the opportunity this afternoon to read a post of Alan Williamson, who was here Thursday evening. He spent an hour this afternoon on the phone with three women in Spain who are originally from Romania, who are members of the church and trying to make it in a place where there is no congregation. We just don't really realize sometimes just how wonderful it is to be in the situation we're in, and we take it for granted. And I began thinking, it's been 6 years since I was over in Mariupol, Ukraine, spending 3 weeks with the brethren over there. And I can't help but think back and remember just this small little band of disciples doing all that they can to make it as Christians, to encourage one another. And yet, we have so many opportunities here in the U.S. that we neglect, that we don't take full advantage of. And I think we can learn from that. And so if you would, keep the members of the church in other places in your prayers. They face many more difficulties than we do. The difficulties that they face in trying to come together and trying to meet and not having a full-time preacher, not having qualified Bible class teachers and things of that nature, we just really don't even think about the blessings that we have. And so let's keep those in our prayers and do what we can to try to help them in whatever way that we can. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We'll begin reading there in verse 38 in just a moment. We've talked about the some lessons that we can learn from Mary and Martha before, but I want to look at this from a slightly different perspective than we have before. As Christians, we understand that there are many responsibilities that we have to uphold. As parents, spouses, and children, we have responsibilities to one another. As parents, we have responsibility to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As children, we have the responsibility to obey our parents and to do the things that they ask of us, as long as it's according to the will of God. As employees and employers, we have a responsibility to treat our employees with respect. And as employees, we have a responsibility to be respectful to those that are over us. We can look at all these things and we can understand that, but when we look at some things, we need to realize that sometimes even good can get in the way of serving God. Even things that are good, even things that we should be doing, can sometimes get in the way. Let's read with there in Luke chapter 10. Let's begin reading there in verse 38. It says, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparation, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" You know, when we look at these things, we see these two sisters. These two sisters are the sisters of Lazarus, who had been raised by Jesus. They were a family that apparently Jesus was rather close to. And we see this opportunity for them to extend some hospitality to the Lord and to His disciples when they came into the area. And as we look at this, we see two different types of attitudes. First of all, we look at Martha and we see that she was one who was distracted. She invited Jesus into her home. She was doing a good thing, was she not? We're commanded in the Scriptures to show hospitality to one another. In Hebrews chapter 13, there in verse 2, we're told not to neglect the showing of hospitality to strangers because some have entertained angels unaware. But we see that she had become distracted in that hospitality. Once again, she was doing a good thing, but she was allowing it to distract her from something that had even greater importance. She became distracted with all of her preparations. But put yourself in Martha's shoes. She has the Son of God in her home. Jesus traveled with a pretty good size entourage. I mean, you think the 12 apostles were with him the majority of the time. There were also a number of disciples that followed along with him. And so this was a rather large task to say, Jesus, come and dine in my house. And you're not only welcoming Jesus, but at least probably 12 others. So just think 13 sitting down at your table. That's not something that you just whip a few things together, is it? And so we can look and see that she was extending a large amount of hospitality to the Lord and to His disciples. And she took this responsibility rather seriously. But she failed to realize that there was something more important. And so she went to the Lord and she said, Lord, why don't you tell my sister to get up and help me? I've got a lot going on. I've got food to prepare. I've got to get everything set up so that y'all can eat after you get through talking. She thought that this was of great importance. But you see, there were some other things that were of greater importance that was going on. Yes, it was important for her to extend hospitality. But it was not important for that to distract her from the things that were of greater importance, and that was sitting at the Lord's feet. When we lived in Dyersburg, there was a lady there that loved to have us over. We were very close with her, and she'd have us over just about every Sunday. And it bothered me that she would always leave before the closing prayer so she could go ahead and get the roll so that it would all be ready as soon as we got there. And I finally told her, I said, I don't mind waiting on the rolls. There are some things that are more important than making sure that all the food's ready as soon as we get there. And worshiping God is that which is more important. You see, she had become distracted by the things of the world. She was distracted about things that really did not matter. She was extending hospitality, and I praise her for that, but getting distracted about these things. You see, Mary was just the opposite. She wasn't distracted. She was disciplined. Now, we look at this, and oftentimes it seems that Martha is the older sister. We really don't know which one was older. And it appears that they live in the same house or something of that nature. And so when Martha offered the home, it would instantly be something that Mary would take part in the preparations. But we can see that Mary saw things a little differently. She saw a much greater importance to sit at the feet of the Lord. She realized that opportunities like this were few and far between. Once again, I think of our brethren overseas who have such a difficult time to come together. I think of our brethren in Mariupol, Ukraine that will travel by route taxi, which is, you think of the worst vehicle you've ever ridden in, multiply it by 10, then pay a nickel to ride on it. Only in their money, it's more like paying 20 bucks to get across town so that you can get services. And they're willing to do this night after night after night after night because they know that once the American preachers go back home, they have nothing. And so Mary looked at this and she saw this as a prime opportunity to sit at the feet of the Son of God. And she knew everything else in the world could wait. There's a wonderful lesson for us to look and to see there. She chose, as the Lord said there in verse 42, He said, one thing is necessary. In the end, there's only one thing that really has any importance in our lives. Oh, it's important that we work. It's important that we provide for our family. It's important that we extend hospitality as we're commanded. But there are some things that are more important. There's one thing that is more important. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, there in verse 33, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Go in the earlier portion of that chapter. What's the all these things that are going to be added? What are we going to eat? Where are we going to sleep? What are we going to wear? But we find ourselves becoming distracted sometimes, don't we? We get caught up in the worldly affairs. We get caught up thinking, well, I've got to get this done. This school report is more important than going to church on Wednesday night. This football game, this basketball game, these things are more important. We need to ask ourselves, in matters of things of long-term endurance, does it really? Do we not find ourselves becoming more of a Martha And that we're so distracted with things that aren't necessarily wrong in and of themselves. There's nothing wrong with what they're doing. But allowing ourselves to become distracted from our service to God. It's kind of like the world today, driving with one hand and texting with the other, and oftentimes driving like this. What happens when you get distracted? You die. Or if you're really unlucky, you kill someone else. And that's one of the things that we need to keep in mind when we're looking at these things. We need to make sure that we're not the one that's distracted. As we look at this, we can see that Mary chose that which was important. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, there in 1 Timothy 4, there in verse 8, he talks about something that in the world today people go, oh, no, you're not right. Because they think that exercise is of utmost importance. You got to keep yourself physically healthy. And while it is important to keep yourself physically healthy, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy there in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, for bodily discipline is only of little profit. Did you catch that? Bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So your son made it to all the football games and was the star football player. What is that getting? Trophy? The applause of his other teammates? Oh, it might get him into a good college. Well, what's that getting? Oh, it'll get him a good degree. What is that getting? It'll get him a good job. What is that getting? In the long run, nothing. We put so much emphasis on the things of this world that we become distracted. Once again, there's nothing wrong with these things, but when we allow them to take precedence over our service to God, when we have the opportunity to study the Word of God, you see, we lose our priorities. We need to ask ourselves over and over, am I a Martha or a Mary? Am I Martha? Am I the person that's easily distracted and concerned with the physical aspect of this world? Or am I Mary, who I would imagine was concerned with the physical things of this world, but understood that there were things of greater importance? You know, we look at the gospel meeting that we had last week. It was an opportunity for us to come together and to spend time in worship of God, and to study from His Word and to sing songs of praise, to encourage one another. And yet some saw that it wasn't that important. They found other things in their life to be of greater importance. They found themselves distracted by the worldly cares, just like Martha. And Jesus would have the same thing to say to us, that we need to choose that good thing, that one good thing that matters, and put it first and foremost in our lives. We need to ask ourselves, are we distracted? Sometimes we need to slow down and really think about these things. Once again, I just reading the status of Brother Allen this afternoon, it got my mind twisting and thinking about things and realizing just how blessed we are. I mean, there's a number of gospel meetings back there on the back, and they're all within an easy car drive in our own comfortable air-conditioned cars that just take a couple of hours out of our life, and we can encourage other brethren like we hope that they would have encouraged us. And we can learn more about the Word of God, and we can be lifted up. These brethren overseas, they would love to have opportunities like that. They would love for there to be a congregation in the neighboring town where they could go over and they could encourage their brethren there and they could spend time with them. But there's barely even a congregation in their own hometown. They would love to have an opportunity to have two gospel meetings a year and a vacation Bible school. But they don't even have a preacher. Some even depend on someone to call them and sit there on speakerphone and have a lesson, as Brother Allen did this afternoon. We become distracted. We have everything so easily handed to us that we become complacent. We become worried about things that really don't matter. We become worried over things that, once again, they're not wrong. We should be concerned about our husband, our wife, our children, our jobs. But those things are to be secondary to our service to God. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, there in verse 37, we have a commandment of Jesus that really seems quite harsh. But it's necessary. In Matthew chapter 10, there in verse 37, Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That's a difficult thing there. I really love my wife. And I really love my kids. And I would do anything in this world to protect them. But Jesus says, I've got to love him more. In other words, he's got to come first in my life. Unfortunately, it seems that we have that backwards. We put our kids above Jesus. We become distracted with our children. We become distracted in their activities in school. We become distracted in making sure that they get a good education. We become distracted in making sure that they get a high-paying job. We become distracted in making sure they have everything this world has to offer until it's too late and we realize that we have distracted them from God. We've shown them that this world is of greater importance than God, and they're lost. Jesus wasn't kidding around when he said, you've got to love me more than father or mother, son or daughter. Look over just a couple more chapters there in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, let's begin reading there in verse 46. It says, while he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father is in heaven, and he is my brother and sister and mother. You see, Jesus saw that it was more important to be about the work of the Father, and that his religious family, his church family, as we would put it today, was to hold a great importance. That's difficult for some people to understand. You have places like Wellsburg, West Virginia, where families grow up on the same hill. You have places in Florence, Alabama, where families grow up on the same hill. I've got an aunt and uncle that live right next door to each other. The cousins all live within, on that same piece of property, a lot of them. They've all lived in that same area their entire life. And we get to where our family is of greater importance to God. You know, I've always been of the opinion, home is whatever church I'm a member of. My parents set that example. We've always lived away from my family. I've always lived away from my grandparents, except for a few years there in high school. And I look at the love that I have for my grandparents, and then my cousins were able to live just right down the road, and the love and respect that they had, and I didn't see any difference. They got to see them on a weekly basis. I got to see them about twice a year. And I believe at times I had a greater appreciation for them than they did. But you know, I've got family, Christian family, all over this United States. I've got moms and dads. I've got aunts and uncles. I've got grandparents. Let me use Miss Linda for just a moment. I was sitting there looking at Facebook the other day, and some pictures there of that LaWanda's friend had put up. And I said, well, look, there's Miss Linda. And Austin said, no, that's Grandma. You see, I'm trying to teach my kids that your family is where you are. Does that mean that he loves his mama and papa any less, or his nini and granddaddy any less? No, he's looking forward to getting to see them all in just a couple of weeks. But he understands family. I would love to live close to my parents. I would love to live close to my brothers. Within about an hour or so. I don't want to get closer than that. But I miss getting to spend time with my brother Jeff. I mean, we spent all of our early years fighting with each other. We finally started getting along after he graduated and moved out, and then we move away from each other. I'd love to be able to spend more time with him. I'd love for my kids to be able to spend more time with their cousins. But you know, the work of the Lord is of greater importance. I'm thankful that my parents have always had an understanding of that, and Anna's parents have gained an understanding of that. It took my mother-in-law a little while to get used to that fact. But the work of the Lord is more important than family. The work of the Lord is more important than anything this world has to offer. Look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, let's begin reading there in verse 16. We have here a parable that the Lord presents. He says there in verse 16, a man was giving a big dinner and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent a slave to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is ready now." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, "I've bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused." Another one said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused." Another one said, "I have married a wife and for that reason I cannot come." The slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry. Now you just pause for a moment. Who do you reckon that head of household is representing? God. God has prepared a feast for us. It's there in heaven. It's waiting. And when He calls for us, we are not to be saying, "Well, I just got married and my wife is more important than you." Or, "I just bought a piece of land and it's more important than you. I just bought a team of oxen and it's more important than you." You see what Jesus is trying to illustrate? We can go on and see that He then sends His slave out and says, "You go out into the city, you go out into the streets, and you go out into the lanes, and you bring in here the poor, and the crippled, and blind, and lame." And the slave said, "Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room." And the master said to the slave, "Go out into the highways and along the hedges, and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner." You see, the Jews had first shot. Those are the ones that had the original invitation. They refused it by the refusal of Jesus Christ. And God said, "All right, you refuse it. You've got other things that are more important than me. Let's just invite everybody else in and you won't come." Folks, we've got to get it through our heads. There is nothing in this world more important than our service to God. God doesn't want you calling Him up on Saturday evening saying, "Well, I've got this going on, or this and this and this and this. I can't make it Sunday to church." I wish there was a direct line to God so people would quit calling me and giving me their lousy excuses. I wish they'd truly try it out on God. See how He'd respond. Folks, we need to be like Mary and not Martha. We need to not be distracted with the things of this world. We've got to put God first in our life or our soul is in danger. The cares of this world, we read in the parable of the sower, will render us unfruitful. And you remember what the Lord said about the tree that doesn't bear fruit? He says, "You chop it down and you throw it in the fire." We've got to think about these things. The cares of this world will leave us unprepared. We'll get caught up in these things. As we read in Luke 21, there in verse 34, "Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap." We get so caught up in the world, we don't realize, lo and behold, here's the day of judgment, and I'm not ready. We need to be careful that we're not allowing ourselves to be distracted, even if it's distraction from things that are good. It's good to show hospitality, Martha, but there was something more important. And so we need to make sure that we are disciplined. That we are disciplined to seek that which is better. That we are disciplined to seek that one thing that is necessary, as Jesus says. Jesus taught the value of choosing the good part. Look with me again, if you would, in Matthew chapter 6. And let's read those preceding verses there before verse 33. As He's teaching them there on the mountain. And He's trying to get them to understand that they should not be concerned with the things of this world. They should be concerned with the things of God. In verse 31, He says, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We were discussing in the Bible class, the young adult Bible class this morning, futures, jobs, aspirations. We were talking about some jobs that perhaps would hinder us as a Christian. And one of them that was brought up was that of a lawyer. And you know, I said, well, I think you can be a lawyer and you can be a Christian. One of them was like, well, you know, you never know when you're going to be called into a trial or something of that nature. I mentioned Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is one of the top fast food chains in the United States of America, and it has never opened once on a Sunday. It's right up there with McDonald's. It's right up there with Burger King. The food's better, in my opinion, anyway. But you know what? I'll always choose Chick-fil-A over them because they have a reason. Here's why they don't serve on Sunday. They want their employees to go to church. If they choose not to go to church, to spend time with their families, because that is more important. You see, I think if we put God first, no matter what we're doing, if we put God first, Jesus said you're going to be blessed. And so our kids may have to miss out on a few things in school. They may have to sit on the sidelines when the band decides it's time to play the Budweiser theme. They may have to step out of the choir when it's time to sing some religious Christmas songs. And their friends may look at them and go, "What are you doing?" Or we may have to give up our family. We may have to give up our friends to serve the Lord. But Jesus says, "Don't you worry. You follow Me. You seek My kingdom. You seek My righteousness. And I'll take care of you." And we can look further there in Mark chapter 10. As the Lord tells us there in the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, as Mark is recording these things, He says, don't worry about what you have to give up. He says, whatever you give up, you'll get it back. In Mark chapter 10, there beginning in verse 28, Peter began to say to Him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed You." Now just pause for a moment. Peter, Andrew, James, and John had done that very thing, hadn't they? They were there in their fishing boats. James and John was there with their father in their fishing boats. They were out there fishing, and Jesus walked by and said, "Hey, come with Me. I'll make you fishers of men." What did they do? They left their nets and followed Him. Now, apparently, they had a pretty good business going on. To have multiple boats and to have a crew to keep those boats and everything. They just walked away. Peter said, "Lord, we've given up everything for You. We've left our home. We left." Peter was married. You remember that? Jesus healed his mother-in-law. We don't read of Peter's wife being around all the time. "We've left everything. We've left everything and followed You." Verse 29 of Mark chapter 10, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for My sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Folks, I'm living proof. Jesus wasn't lying when He said that. I've left behind my family. I've been away from my family for 14 years. My wife has left behind her family. She's got sisters that she never had before now. She only had a mean old brother. And now she's got friends that are closer than a sibling. We left behind our parents, and in every congregation I've been a part of, there's always been one couple that just kind of took us under their wing. Kept an eye on us. I've had a mom and dad everywhere I've ever gone. Got them all over the United States of America. I got a mom and dad that live out in South Dakota. I've got aunts and uncles that live in Illinois. They're not related to me in any way other than we're Christians. I've got houses all over the United States of America that I could call them up and say, look, we're going to be passing through. Do you mind if we crash with you? Yeah, please. How long do you want to stay? We'd like to see you for a couple of days. It's a wonderful thing to know that if you leave behind something, you get something in return. Jesus said you're not going to give up anything in this world that you're not going to get back a hundredfold. But He said even more importantly, you get eternal life. You know, even if I spent the rest of my life away from my family and I never had anybody else that treated me like family, even if I never found someone to take the place of my brothers in the places that I moved to, God's got something even better laid up for me. A home in heaven. Whatever we give up, folks, it's worth it. It's worth it. The Apostle Paul talks about the peace that we can have. In Philippians chapter 4, there in verse 6, he says, "You be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, well, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Martha, she was worried. Have I got enough for everybody to eat? What did I do inviting this man into my home? All these other guys following him in. All these other people are coming in. I don't know if I got enough food in the house. We may have to run to the market. I got to get the oven warmed up. I've got to get this bread baking. I got to get this roast going. I got to make sure that there's plenty to eat. Lord, why don't you tell my sister to get up and help me? Well, Martha, we can eat later. Right now, it's time to listen to the words of Jesus Christ. You think about that the next time that you're contemplating whether or not you feel like going to church. You think about the next time you're contemplating, well, I don't know what I want to do right now. Maybe I should read my Bible. You think about that when you look in your life and you ask yourself, what have I made most important in my life? Have I made my family? Have I made my friends? Have I made my job? Are these the things that I put first in my life? Do I schedule my service to God around these things? And isn't that the case most often? We schedule our service to God around our lives. We fit God into the cracks. Folks, that just does not work in the sight of God. We've got to humbly submit ourselves to God. We've got to turn our lives over to Him. We've got to make Him first. Absolutely first in our lives. If we put Him first in our lives, everything else will take care of itself. The bills will be paid. The food will be on the table. The clothes will be on our back. The kids will live well. The kids will do well. The kids will be well taken care of if they're serving the Lord. You see, that is what's most important. And so we give you the opportunity tonight to surrender yourself to God. Whether it be in humble obedience, confessing your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins and being buried in baptism, or perhaps it's returning and saying, I have sinned, I've placed other things in front of you, and I'm ready to serve you, God. Tonight is your opportunity as we stand and as we sing.